Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Start with a new chapter today, and let's again go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, how thankful we are for your blessings. We thank you for your word and the truthfulness of it. Lord, we thank you most of all for your Son who came into this world to die for our sins. Through him we could have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, as you've been with us through the worship service so far, and Lord, even as we continue in worship and the preaching of your word, we pray that you'll give me unction from on high. Lord, that your word will be presented in truth and received as such. Our Father, we pray that your people who have gathered here today for the worship, that we will be strengthened and edified, encouraged, Lord. And if there's any among us today who don't know you, Lord, we pray that today may be the day that they come to know you as their Savior, be added to the church very soon. And Lord, I pray that you'll be pleased to add to our number, that we may grow not only physically but also spiritually. Lord, draw us closer to you and closer to one another. Lord, bless us in the after service as we conduct the business of the church. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 8. We'll begin reading verse 1. We'll go down to verse 9. In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. They that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. The title of my message this morning is Jesus has compassion on the multitude. And we see that here in the feeding of the 4,000. As we begin this chapter, and we've been preaching through the Gospel of Mark, I want to remind you that as we've encountered many other men and women, many events that have taken place, this is a book about Jesus. This is the Gospel of Mark. He is the central figure of this book. And this should get our attention as we read through this. Let us not get distracted in thinking about the loaves or the fishes or the multitudes. Let us not get distracted by those things, but let us remember that Jesus is the one who is to be high and lifted up. That's the focus I believe Mark had as he wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord in this text is still in Decapolis. He's away from Galilee. There is this great multitude that is gathered. His fame, if you go with me in your mind's eye to that time period, his fame has spread far and wide, largely because of what's been happening most recently there in that time. His healing of the deaf and the mute, for instance, and those things. If this chapter seems a little familiar, it should. We read very similarly in Mark chapter 6, just a couple pages before, in verse 34. It says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep not having a shepherd. He began to teach them many things." As you read on down through there, you notice there's a multitude. They were hungry. But in that passage, and this one, it's not a repeat. Don't confuse these two in your mind or in your studies. The earlier incident, this one in Mark chapter 6, was some 5,000, and it occurred on the other side of the lake, some 10 miles away. This one is different place and a different time. Different group of people. Different amount of food. You begin to line them up and you see there. And we'll compare it and contrast some of those things as we go along, perhaps. But let's get the scene in our minds here in our text in Mark chapter 8. There were about 4,000 people. They've not eaten. And Jesus calls his disciples to him in verses 2 and 3. He says, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days, have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them come from far." 3 days they were there. Jesus says, they have nothing to eat. But I want you to notice that Jesus says, "I have compassion on them." Only here and in the parallel passage of Matthew chapter 15 does Jesus use this word compassion to describe himself. Now there's other passages in the New Testament, one of which we looked at a while ago in Mark chapter 6, in which the writers of the New Testament describe Jesus as being compassionate. But this one is where he says, "I have compassion on the multitude." He's describing himself as having compassion. What does that mean, that Jesus has compassion? One commentator said this. He said, "The word denotes such feelings as are in natural fathers and mothers towards their children." Another commentator says, "Or I am moved or yearn with pity." It's an expression of that deep emotion in the Redeemer's heart, which always preceded some remarkable interposition for relief. So said Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown in their commentary. Look with me, if you will, in Matthew chapter 14. In verse 14, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Chapter 20 of Matthew and verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Mark chapter 1 and verse 41. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Weep not. Our Lord has much compassion on the peoples that he came into contact with. And time again, this is recorded. Now, knowing what this means, and knowing that there was such a large number of people, think about your reaction. Think about my reaction. A multitude of people, they've already been there for about 3 days. They have nothing to eat. Jesus said, and if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. They've traveled from a large distance. What would be your reaction? What would be mine? Maybe they should have packed something to eat. Maybe they should have thought of this a day ago. I mean, we're Americans. We're part of the microwave generation. We want things immediately and now. We have shorter attention spans than most of the world. 3 days. Nothing to eat. Most of us can't even go to a movie theater without a bunch of snacks. But here we are. Throw in the fact that some of these people, maybe even a large group of them, they weren't there because of who Jesus was. They weren't truly followers of Jesus. Many of them were there because of idle curiosity. What is this? I've heard something about this man, but yet they weren't believers. They were just curious. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, follow the Gospels along. See how many stayed with him and how many didn't. You see. Many of these people were just there to see what was going on. It's doubtful that all 4,000 were truly followers of Christ. And indeed, as we sit here and we read this and we say, well, it's doubtful that all of them were there to follow Christ. Think about this. Jesus knew for sure. He knew for sure who was a true follower and who wasn't. Think about that. You and I, we can get into a group. We can say, all right, well, here's all these people. What are they here for? We don't see large crowds very often here at this church. What's the biggest crowd we've seen? Maybe 60 people, maybe, or at a conference. You think about some of the big conferences that this country has seen. Billy Graham Tent Revival a few years ago, or a conference that they just had at Grace Community, where John MacArthur pastors. I mean, you look out there and you see great big crowds of people. You say, wow, that's amazing. How many of those people were really followers of Christ? I don't know. Bring it down to just the 12 apostles. We know that there was one. There was one in them who was not really saved. Judas. Jesus knew that. Okay? He was long-suffering to Judas. He knew whatever might have been going on in the crowds, in the multitudes. Many of these same people may have ended up very well at the place of the cross, crying out, "Crucify him." But you see, he knew all of this, and yet, look at this now, put all this in perspective, this is all I'm trying to say, he knew the hearts and minds of the people, because he was man, but yet he was God, he is God. And he says, I have compassion on them, on the multitude. He didn't say, I have compassion on some of the multitude. He said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. He didn't say, some of these people are genuine believers and some aren't. Separate them. Later in the judgment, he will separate them, but not right now. He says, if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them come from afar. Romans chapter 9, where we were earlier, will not go there, but he brings out the fact that he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. When we compare these two incidences in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, he said, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. His compassion with the 5,000... was for their spiritual needs, for their lost spiritual condition. Okay? He had compassion on the people because of their lost spiritual condition. But now, two chapters over, we read he has compassion for their physical needs. Yes, Jesus had come to seek and to save those who were lost. But he also could empathize with their hunger. Let us never lose sight of the fact that Jesus was fully God and fully man. This is the Savior, this compassionate Savior that we serve, this is who He is. That's who He was, and that's who He is. He knew something about hunger. Because, go with me to Matthew chapter 4, in verse 2. In Matthew chapter 4, and verse 2, and when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward anhungered. He was afterward anhungered. Jesus knew what it was like to be hungry. As God, He had designed the body. He had created man. But as man, He had experienced it. You see? What an amazing Savior we have. And as man, He's there. He's working with these people. He's ministering to these people. This multitude is there. Again, repeat. Thousands of people, they're hungry. He has compassion on them for their spiritual needs and for their physical needs. Let us not miss this. I believe that we ought to have a desire as a church in the year 2024 not to go back 30 years, not to go back 50 years, not to go back 100 years, not to go back to the time of Charles Spurgeon, not to go back to the time of the Puritans, not to go back to the time of the founding of this country. Our desire ought to be that we would be more and more like Christ. That's what our desire, that should be our desire as a people. And to look at this and see, what has Christ done, and how can we, as a church, be like Christ? And while our primary focus as a church is spiritual, let us never lose that, never forget that. The commission has been given. It is spiritual through and through. But let us never, ever, ever be stoic or indifferent about the needs of others. Some people get it all lopsided the other way. And they go around and they build hospitals and they have dinners and all that, but never preach the gospel. There's got to be a balance, you see. And there was a time when I totally scoffed at churches who advertised having community dinners or pizzas or free yard sales to benefit the community. But you know, while some churches may use those things as gimmicks or tricks in order to draw numbers, I believe that there can be a balance to this. People are in need. People are struggling. More and more in our world. We all feel it. At the gas pump, at the grocery store, and all those things. And if God's people don't have compassion on others, who else will? What do we know about the love of God? The love of God is not just about the love of God in salvation. The love of God goes much deeper. His compassion is so much broader than what we could ever imagine. And in a world full of hate, we need to be reminded of this. We have to be reminded of this. And people need to hear that. They need to see that in this world. What a joy it was for these folks. They had come. Perhaps some of them, like I said, out of idle curiosity. And they were hungry. And Jesus says, hey, these folks need fed. I'm not going to send them away, or else they might faint on the way. Verse 4 of Mark chapter 8. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? His disciples. They've not learned very quickly after being with Jesus. They're out there in the desert. There's not a whole lot of resources out there. Jesus says, I'm not going to send these people away hungry. They'll faint. His disciples say, there's no Walmart here. There's no McDonald's close by. I don't see any flour to make any bread. What are we going to do? No, they didn't really say that, but similar, right? We're out here in the desert. There's nothing. Where are we going to get bread from? It doesn't grow on trees. You can't pull it from the cactus. You can't dig it up from the ground. It's not fallen from heaven anymore. Those days are gone, right? It is a sad commentary on them, but I would remind you that in reality, are we not all like them? We are slow learners. And in God's college of knowledge, there is no gifted class for any of us. The reality is that if we were all honest about it, even the best of us, we would still be in the, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but this is just the reality of it. We would end up in the special ed class. God would have to be very, very long suffering towards us because indeed we are slow learners. And I'm thankful today that God does not flunk any of us out of school. He does not kick us out because we don't get the lesson the first time. He doesn't kick us out because we missed it the second time. He doesn't even do it after we miss the lesson the sixth, seventh, eighth, tenth time. And even after we're 80, 90 years old and we're still missing things, just like these guys, He still lets us back into His class so we can keep learning. I mean, notice the great patience He has with these fellows and rejoice because God has great patience with us. Every day. Look there in verse 5. And He asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. Now in a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. So Matthew added the little fishes. Mark doesn't get to the little fishes until later on down in the passage. But my point is, notice that Jesus doesn't hit them hard for their lack of faith. He doesn't smack them around for their forgetfulness. He doesn't rebuke them. Rather, he asks them, how many loaves did they have? And he answers 7. Matthew, of course, adds a few little fishes. This was their answer to him. Why did he do this? Didn't Jesus know how many loaves they had? Well, of course he did. This was an exercise for their faith. I think we can learn from this. You see, sometimes as preachers especially, we need to remember this. The way that Jesus interacted with his people is different than the way he interacted with the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It is much different. I'm not interested in shaming people who forget to turn off their cell phone, people who maybe fidget a little bit in the pew, or people who maybe don't understand something that I've tried to explain perfectly, or even if they come and they forget their Bible, or they bring a different Bible version or whatever. I'm not interested in shaming people for that sort of thing. And I'm also not shaming people if they forgot what I preached last week. So let me let you in on a little secret. Okay? This is the honest truth of it. Some weeks I don't remember what I preached last week. Okay? We have to be reminded of things constantly. These guys did. I once heard a preacher very arrogantly say, when someone forgot what his sermon was the week before, he said, well, it didn't do you much good, did it? I disagree with that statement. The reality is, I don't remember what I ate for supper last week on Tuesday. I don't remember. I've done forgot about it. But I know it did something good for me when I ate it. So it is with preaching. So it is with your Bible study. So it is with those things. It was something that you needed at the time. Now, if you forget about it a week or two later, your memory fails, that's okay. You'll remember it when the time is right. God will bring it back in your memory and it will be a blessing to you then too. Don't be discouraged about those things. God is patient with us, and we ought to be patient with ourselves and patient with each other. Back there in our text, he's patient with these folks. And he says, and it says there in verse 6, and he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples and set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set before them also, set them also before them. Jesus commanded the people to sit down. They had 7 loaves. That's 2 more loaves than what they had before. So they had 2 more loaves. They had fewer people. But it's still not enough. So we see Jesus as he sits down Because with God, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And we see what he's doing here. He commands everyone to sit down. He gives thanks for the food. Don't forget to do this. Jesus was always doing this. And if Jesus would do it before he ate, we must also do that too. Let the people around you, even if they don't normally give thanks, let them see you thanking God for the food. After the blessing, he handed the bread to his disciples for distribution. Verse 7, Mark mentions the fish. Jesus blesses that too, and this was also distributed. Isn't it a blessing to think about this? You see, Jesus could have taken the bread and the fish, and he could have blessed it, taken it, and passed it out himself. He could have went amongst all the people, given it to everybody, but he didn't. He didn't do that. He commanded to set them also before them. He gave to his disciples to set before them, verse 6 says. Isn't it a blessing that God uses people to do his work? Do you know? You ever think about this? That in the preaching of the gospel and the carrying out of the Word of God, that God could have taken us out of the equation. He could have given it to the birds, told the birds to take the gospel. There's some beautiful birds around here, and I love to hear their singing. And they've got some beautiful melodies, but they don't preach the gospel. God could have written it in the stars. I love to look up at the heavens and see the stars. I've been in New Mexico at the highest mountains and seen up at the stars. And I like to go out the edge of the ocean there where there's no light and look up. It's beautiful looking up there, but the message of the gospel is not there. He could just say, you know what, I will speak it from heaven. But he doesn't do that. He commanded that we take it to the uttermost parts of the world. What a blessing it is that he's given it to us to distribute. Oh, that we be faithful to do that. What a blessing it was for these disciples to be able to take that bread and those fish and to distribute it among the people. And you know what they saw that day? They saw the same thing that we see as we take the gospel, the Word of God, and we distribute it among the people of our world. They saw the hand of God working. Because verse 8, look what it says here. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. They that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. What they saw was that seemed like that bread was never running out. It seemed like those fish never gave up. And people were being filled. They got everything they needed from what didn't seem to be enough. Everyone was satisfied. And not only that, but there were leftovers. There were about 4,000. Matthew records that there were also women and children. Matthew 15:38. He sent them away. Some, they came dumb in their speech. Some were deaf with their hearing. Others that were maimed with perfect hearing of their wounds. What a sight. Some maybe had limbs that were missing and now they were whole. Others were lame and they were leaping. Whatever the case may be, some were blind, now they could see. Some had their sight. They were blind, but now their sight was restored. Whatever the case may be, some of them may have had demons, but now they were gone. Whatever it was that they came with, they were healed. All of them were full. What a joy it was. What a scene it was. What it must have been to think about there that day in this passage as they were filled. The disciples were left with those seven baskets. I ask you, have you been filled? Do you know Jesus? Oh, the things of this world, they don't satisfy, but Jesus does. Feast on Him and be satisfied. He was a compassionate Savior then, and He is a compassionate Savior now. No one that comes to Him has ever been turned away. May God add a blessing to the preaching of His Word.